Now, next week sees another anniversary of the September 11 attacks in the United States, the 17th. Like other momentous events, the assassination of JFK, the fall of the Berlin Wall, like anything you can think of, the impact of even those world-shaking atrocities must inevitably fade with time. But one relic remains. The prison at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, used by the Americans to hold, as they styled them, the worst of the worst, is still in business. Barack Obama came to power a decade ago, promising to close it. He didn't. Donald Trump came to power, promising to keep it. He certainly has. At last count, there were still 40 prisoners there, of the nearly 800 who have been held at Guantanamo at some stage of the long war that was effectively declared 17 years ago this month. Now, Clive Stafford Smith is a British lawyer. He's represented more than 80 of those Guantanamo Bay inmates. He is the legal director of the British branch of Reprieve, which is a not-for-profit human rights organisation, and he joins me right now from Dorset. Hello to you, Clive.
Hello.
Now, 95%, roughly, by my count, of the prisoners who have been held at Guantanamo Bay at some stage are no longer there. So what happened to them?
Well, they all went home, by and large, and even though none of them were really the worst of the worst, certainly some of them had something to do with bin Laden. And what's extraordinary, you know, normally when you distill something, whether it be gin or whatever, it gradually gets stronger. But actually, the people who remain in Guantanamo Bay, I've still got 8 clients there, no more the worst of the worst than the people who originally went there. And I was just writing up something from one of my clients yesterday. He was a taxi driver in Karachi, and he's still there after 17 years.
Of course, a taxi driver can still be a terrorist. So what makes you so convinced that they're worth your effort in defending?
Well, this particular individual, Ahmed Rabbani, was a taxi driver, and he was mistaken for a big-time terrorist. This is the story he told me, and it was pretty credible. But it became a lot more credible when the U.S. Senate issued its report and said, yeah, that's true, that the guy was mistaken for a terrorist. Ahmed was taken to one of the dark prisons. He was tortured there for 544 days. And, you know, one might think that they'd have figured it out after all that time, particularly because the guy they mistook him for was later held in the same prison, was then set free, went back to terrorism and ended up getting killed with a drone strike. But Ahmed, who was always just a taxi driver, is still in Guantanamo. It's very sad.
So why is he still there?
There we get into the realm of speculation. My speculation, which is pretty informed, is that he's still there because what happened to him, where they did awful things, you know, the whole gamut of Spanish Inquisition sort of tortures, they're just too embarrassed to admit they made that mistake and send him back to Pakistan, where he would sue them and who knows what would happen.
So in your account, he's living a twilight existence in a jail that exists essentially outside the reach of the law to a very large degree because they're too embarrassed to let him go.
Well, that's been true of a lot of people. And indeed, we've got a lot of people out when we've liberated the facts. It's all classified. I've been there 35 times. It is my Caribbean resort of choice. But every time I talk to one of my clients there, it's classified as secret, and we have to get it through their senses. But if we do get it through their senses, we can then tell the world. And so with an awful lot of people, you know, my goal is to get out all the embarrassing facts about their torture so that there's no percentage left in keeping them in prison. And by and large, that works. It just hasn't worked at random for poor old Ahmed.
So tell us, if you're going to get out all the detail of torture, we know about waterboarding. That's been somewhat discussed. What are the other forms of torture that are used?
Well, I'd like to talk. Let me mention waterboarding first, because I think it illustrates something. While I am British, I'm also American, and it's slightly embarrassing for us that we use all these euphemisms, right, for everything we do in Guantanamo. And so we don't torture people. We use enhanced interrogation techniques. And I have a little hobby, which is to take all the different forms of abuse that are done and see what the Spanish Inquisition called them. So with waterboarding, they called it tortura del agua, as in water torture. Interestingly, the Gestapo called it Verschaftervernehmung, which I'm reliably informed means enhanced interrogation. And it's sort of sad that we are borrowing terms, euphemisms from the Nazis. So we do waterboarding. We've done what's called strapado by the Spanish Inquisition, which is where we hang you up by your wrists with your toes touching the ground. Doesn't sound so bad, but actually gradually your shoulders dislocate and it's apparently excruciatingly painful. We use falaka, which is a Saudi system of beating people on the soles of their feet. And then all sorts of other things. One of my guys told me that by far the worst was playing incredibly loud music all the time. Barney the Purple Dinosaur was a favorite because he said that actually psychological torture is far worse even than physical torture because you begin to go insane.
And so there are some people in there, I think there's about half a dozen, five or six people in there, who've actually been cleared to be released, but no one will take them.
No, that's not the problem. Indeed, there are five people, and I represent two of them, and it's not that no one will take them, it's that Trump won't let them go. So, for example, Abdel Latif Nasser, who's one of my guys from Morocco, was cleared for release, but it was just too late in the Obama presidency. Morocco was having an election, so they didn't get around to it. And the papers arrived a few days too late. Morocco wants him. They'll take him. His family would love to have him home. But Trump won't let him go because Trump is just making a political statement out of it. And while you're right that Trump has kept it open, he's hardly filled it up with bad dudes, as he promised to do. You know, there's only one guy who's been arrested and put in a cell in Guantanamo since Trump became president. And that was a brigadier general who was held in contempt for insisting on giving his client a defense. He was a lawyer. So that's the person who's been put in a cell since Trump became president.
So if there are taxi drivers in there who just simply were in the wrong place at the wrong time, were misidentified, there are also people like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. There are people like Hambali, who's of much interest in Australia because he was the link essentially between Al-Qaeda and Southeast Asia terrorist organisations like Jamaa Islamiyah, with a link to the Bali bombings, which of course matter a great deal to us. Where would you keep them if you weren't keeping them there?
Well, one of the extraordinary, you're right, there are a very small rump of people who, it seems, have done really bad things, and indeed they've bragged about them publicly. You would think it would just be incredibly easy to put them on trial, convict them, and do with them what you will. And indeed, you know, we have a whole file on Khalid Sheikh Mohammed boasting about 9/11. The whole point about 9/11 is we responded to it in just an extraordinarily stupid way. And so instead of looking at it as a major, major crime committed by a bunch of people whose only defense could be insanity, we looked at it as a war, and we did exactly the opposite of what we should have done. And so we put them in Guantanamo and said they were prisoners of war, albeit people we were going to treat pretty badly. And then we were going to try them in military commissions, and they haven't got around to it in 17 years. If we'd just taken them to America, put them on trial, given them a regular old trial, they'd all have been convicted. You know, that's just one of many of our mistakes. If you look at it, it's interesting. When they assassinated bin Laden, one of the bits of paper that they found was a complete list of everyone in Al-Qaeda on September the 10th, 2001. And it was just one bit of paper, you know, 100 names. You know, I'm afraid we have turned something that could have just been a criminal offense into something much bigger. And that's very sad.
So they declared war and we gave them one.
We did, to people who wanted to be warriors instead of just deranged criminals.
Well, they stay in there, 40-odd of them, in there in Guantanamo Bay, as you try to get as many as you can out. Clive Stafford-Smith, great to talk to you today.
Thanks.